I imagine one of the most familiar images for Christians and for people who read the scripture is that of the shepherd. And we have here in the Gospel of John a passage about the shepherd. We also have in Peter, 2 Peter, the passage we heard this morning, saying that we've all strayed like sheep and that we're invited to come to the shepherd. And according to the King James and the New King James Version, the overseer of our soul. We talk about shepherding a lot in the life of the church. We've talked about it all our lives if you've been a member of the church most of your life. And yet, very few of us know a great deal about shepherds and sheep. I mean, I haven't grown up around them and don't have a great deal of familiarity with shepherding and sheep except what I've learned through the Christian faith. I mean, most people take the 23rd Psalm as one of their favorite psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. And yet our images of the shepherd come maybe mostly from Christmas plays where little children dressed up as shepherds and have a shepherd's crook. And yet in that familiar psalm, we hear, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That the shepherds in the Old Testament and essentially, not usually, the shepherds even in the New Testament didn't use shepherd's crooks all of the time. That was a rather new invention. And it's certainly true of David when he was a shepherd. You had your rod and your staff. Now your staff was a pole, you know, made out of a sapling probably, that was maybe 6 feet tall. It was a fairly straight pole. It was usually made out of hard wood. And it was used to support you when you were walking, when you were making your way through rocky terrain, to help you with your balance, that you could lean on it. You know, I mean, I guess the staff is kind of like the jokes we have about highway workers leaning on their shovels. You know, a lot of them were put out of their jobs recently because they made a shovel that would stand up by itself. But the staff was used to support you because you were out there with the sheep all of the time. And so you had this staff that you could kind of lean on, that you could put your weight on, that could support you, that supported you when you were standing and needed a little relief, supported you when you were working through those rocky, craggy spots. It could be used to move and guide the sheep, but you also had a rod. Now, a rod was maybe only 3 feet long at most. It would be something that here again came from a tree, but you'd get something that was a little more like a club, because the rod was a defensive weapon and an offensive weapon. You use that to protect yourself and to protect your sheep. So you had your staff and you had your rod. You were there to guide and comfort your sheep and to take care of yourself, and you were there to defend them and to fight off the animals or the robbers that would come into the sheepfold, as Jesus was talking about in this passage in the Gospel of John. That the shepherd was there to protect the sheep. And you know, I just kind of like that word in the New King James, overseer of the soul. I liked it because of overseeing. That the shepherd is overseeing, the overseer of the sheep. That he's watching over them all of the time. He's caring for them all of the time. He is watchful all of the time. He is protective all of the time. And the shepherd that God sent in the person of Christ Jesus, Peter says, is the overseer of our souls. Now, in the New Testament, we have a tendency to mix spirit and soul. But in the Old Testament, the soul was the whole person. We don't have a soul, we are a soul. We are a living soul. In the beginning, God formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the spirit, and we became a living soul, a living being, a living person. And the shepherd that God sent to us is the overseer of our souls. Everything that we are, just like the shepherd took care of every need of those sheep, the shepherd of our soul will take care of everything we need in our lives. You know, sheep are not brilliant animals. That's why they're so easily attacked. In the passage from the 25th chapter of Matthew that we take as our newsletter heading, the Matthew 25 challenge, Jesus separates the sheep and the goat. Have you ever noticed that in Scripture where you talk about the separating of the sheep and the goats? You see, the goats are really worldly. The goats are somewhat self-sufficient. Goats could actually live in the wild by themselves, possibly, because, number one, they have horns. They can protect themselves, and if you've ever been around goats and bent over, they just can't resist butting you. I mean, they're aggressive. They're worldly. They can make it in tough territory. They don't have to have green pastures to lie down in. They can eat anything. Man, if you want some land cleared, catch you some goats. And they'll clear it out up to as high as they can stand on their back legs and eat. They'll eat anything. And I saw that when I was in the Holy Land. I mean, in desert areas where you thought nothing was growing, there were these little gray plants that just blended into the sand. You didn't even notice them unless you got up close. But the goats would eat them. They were more rugged, hardy kinds of animals. The sheep, they have to be led to pasture. You've got to seek out that green pasture. You've got to lead them there. You've got to watch them, or they'll stray off this way. They'll stray off that way. They have to have a shepherd. And a shepherd usually can't handle much more than 100 sheep. If he's really going to care for the sheep. So shepherds would usually join together their herds so they could watch over them. Just as God gathers us here as his people, like sheep. He wants to watch over us. He wants to be the overseer of our whole lives and help us out with anything we need, to lead us into those green pastures, to take his staff and guide us, and to take his rod and defend us. I remember a young woman that came to me for counseling years ago who had tremendous trust issues in her marriage. She loved her husband. She loved her daughter. But she had a hard time trusting the people that she loved. And when we started delving into this trust issue that was getting in the way of her marriage and also hurting her relationship somewhat with her daughter, we discovered that she was abused as a child. Her earliest memories of growing up in the home of her parents were all the way back to when she was 1 or 2 years old, maybe 2 years old, and still in diapers, and she was placed in a crib and changed only once a day. She had to wear dirty, smelly, wet diapers. And I'm sure back in those days, I don't know where that pamper thing came in, but, for her life. But can you imagine that? A child placed in a crib, very little to play with, and left there in her own filth because the parents, the mother, would only change them once a day, and that was when she was fed. Once a day. She grew up afraid of her parents. And when we talked about getting release from that abuse, that kind of neglect in her life, I said, go to the worst moment you can imagine. If you really want to get rid of this, go to the worst moment you can imagine with one of your parents. And we were doing something I call a healing of memories, where you invite Jesus to come into those horrible times and be the Son of God, to be the Good Shepherd, to be the healer, to be the overseer of our souls, to be the guardian of our souls. And she says, I was about 8 years old. I was at school. And she described the big old three-story brick building. And she said, I got in trouble. And the principal called my mother. And I begged him not to call mother. I begged him not to call her. But he called her anyway. And she said, I'll never forget that day. She says, because we walked out of the school and my mother was shouting and screaming at me, and I was embarrassed because she was doing that in front of all of the kids. And she got angrier and angrier and angrier with me. And then she took out a stick and she started hitting me and beating me on my legs with a stick about this big around. And she said, there are people standing around watching, and my mother is acting like a crazy woman, and she's beating me with that stick. And I said, do you want to get rid of that hurt and pain in your life? Do you want to wipe out that horrible memory? She said, yes. I said, invite Jesus into that moment. She says, well, that happened so many years ago. What good would it do? Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can't go back in time, but He can, because He's the overseer of our soul. Our whole lives, not just right now, but our lives in the future and our lives in the past. He can come into any moment and make it holy. Do you want to believe that? And she says, I want to believe it. I said, picture the horror of that moment in your mind and invite Jesus to be there and expect Him to come. And in a moment I heard, I said, He's there, isn't He? She says, yes, He's there. Her eyes were closed, but she had a smile on her face. I said, describe what's happening. She says, Jesus is standing there next to me and He's looking down at me. Did He say anything? No. But I can see in His eyes He's not angry with me. He's not mad at me for what I did at school today. And then she said, oh no. And I said, why? She says, my mother's coming after me. I said, look at Jesus. She says, I'm safe. I said, what's happening? She says, Jesus stood between me and my mother. And every time my mother would try to swing out at me with that stick, Jesus would move. And she wouldn't hit Jesus. And my mother would move around to try to hit me again. And Jesus would move. And finally, Jesus said, do not touch my child. And my mother walked away. and it's just me and Jesus. And he's put his arms around me. He said, I'm his child. We've all strayed like sheep who need a shepherd who is the guardian of our souls. A guardian who can go into our past and heal hurts we've carried around for years, for decades. That's what the Good Shepherd will do for us. I came that you might have life and abundantly. There are thousands and thousands of people in our country alone who've been abused by their legal guardians because they didn't have the guardian of their soul there to protect them, and yet he was there. He was hurting when they were hurting. And this woman in her 30s was able to go back to that ugly time in her life and experience the Good Shepherd. Not with his staff, but with his rod. He was there to defend her, to protect her, to see that the little one, the little lamb that was entrusted to his care, was protected. Jesus oversees all in your life, past, present, and future, and wants to be your good shepherd. Will you trust him? Will you let him minister to you? Will you let him lead you, comfort you, guide you with his staff, and defend you with his rod? That's what our Lord wants to do for you if you will come to the Good Shepherd. Let us pray. Gracious Father, if we were lucky enough to grow up in a home where we were loved and nurtured, it's hard for us to imagine how people could treat a child so. But there are thousands upon thousands of people who did not have a guardian who cared for them with that kind of love and tenderness. But you are there for them, Father. You sent your Son as the shepherd of the sheep to guide them as well as protect them and defend them from those who are hirelings, from those who are thieves and robbers and have their minds bent on violence. We thank you that you will be the guardian of our souls. We pray that we will follow the Good Shepherd. We will let him guide us and defend us, that we might be led into green pastures, beside still waters, that shepherd will feed us in the presence of our enemies and abusers, and that we will dwell in his care forever. Amen.